We are going through a teaching series on Jesus' last teachings. We're through the book of John. Those really, you open it up and it's the red section. It's got the words of Jesus and it's like multiple pages and Jesus is sharing with his disciples. And we get to hear and listen to the heart of the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ in those words. One of the themes that comes through that teaching, through that interaction that Jesus was having with his disciples, is this idea of not of this world. I am on to be honest always, eh? We've got to be honest. This was a challenging one for me. This was not something that came first and foremost to my mind. I'd say, oh, I know exactly what God wants me to share today. This was a real patient waiting. And I've added things even last night, talking to my wife. I've added things there as well. It's not something that came easy to me to share on this. The little introduction that we were given through the teaching team, from the teaching team, was summarized as such. As followers of Christ, we can expect the same treatment that Jesus received from the world because we do not belong to it. We don't belong to this world. Jesus told us to expect hatred and persecution. But also, we can be comforted and have joy knowing that we are safe in him. I want to pray now because if you go through the parables of the soil, the seed, one of those seeds is one that falls away. One of those seeds that is planted is one that falls away. When trouble comes, when persecution comes. So I want to pray at the moment to bring us all before God and ask him to be able to be the good gardener that he is. Help us as he is our husbandman, he is the one who's looking after us, that we are able to humble ourselves and receive from him. Let us join in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the confidence that you wish to instill in us. By your grace, we come before you, Lord Jesus, seeking your kingdom, your righteousness, your ways through everything. Lord, help us to discern and to listen and to obey. And as we sometimes get troubled in this world, that fear and doubt is not that which is having dominion over us. But it is your love, it is your goodness, it is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ that has convicted us of sin, has given us hope for the future. And Lord Jesus, now through your gospel, through your word, we are safe and we have a sure hope, a great hope. So Father, as we come to this, the word of God, as I share, Lord, we pray that you would help us to grow and allow you to work in us. So that, as been mentioned, we will produce good fruit and fruit that will last. Amen. Amen. I say that because, again, with the persecution side of things, okay, this is a real theme through Jesus' teaching. We will face persecutions. You will be hated. And that is a troubling thing in our human endeavor, in our human life. It's a troubling thing. And we want to be honest in this, that is a real thing. And so at times we will be troubled by whatever's happening in the world, the things around us, our own thoughts, our own interpretations, what we see in the media, whatever it might be, there will be things that trouble us. But take heart, as Jesus said in this same portion of scripture, take heart, he has overcome the world. I've got a picture of a boat here. Now, this is for our teenage audience this morning because, again, I was sharing with my wife and she mentioned this from her youth, this picture of a boat, because there is this strange idea of not of this world. And this was a picture that she said she clung on to in her understanding of being able to appreciate what that means as a follower of Christ. What does it mean to be not of this world? And just like a boat has its buoyancy, has its purpose on top of water, it is also the water that poses the greatest threat to it. Right? So if a ship is shipwrecked, it's going to be swallowed up by water. And so in this analogy, We, as a boat traveling over and through this world, we are on the water, we are in the world, but we are not of the water. We are not of the world. So we get the opportunity to, as it is in Christ, sail over and through the troubles of the waters around us. So that's just a nice analogy that I thought was going to be helpful for our younger audience to be able to appreciate, hey, as a follower, as a disciple of Christ, yes, we're going to go traveling through this world, but there is a need for us to be secure and safe and have that integrity within our vessel, as it is. There's all these words that we could use as a vessel of Christ traveling through this world. So I'll put that there for our teenager, younger audience to be able to think on as we go through this message. The first thing that I've done actually wasn't the first thing, let's be careful. One of the really important parts that I did, I obviously read the passages that I put up there. And I put it there, I'm not reading through this. But what I did is I went through verse by verse and I chose out the main themes, the main ideas that were coming through each of those sentences that Jesus was speaking to his disciples. And I summarized it in one word. Kept it simple, so it flowed well in my mind, and I was able to, based on those words, to be able to explain in my own way what Jesus was talking about. So I can appreciate it myself. So I've got words such as hate, belong, chosen, persecution, obedience, name, sin, witness, and then there's two other paragraphs there, the Holy Spirit, truth, testify, and the words understand and aware. Now, without context, without reading the scripture, it would be hard to place those into an interpretation. So I will do that for you. I also looked at the second passage, John 17, and I did the same thing. So we've got revelation, given, obedience, word, accepted, certainty, relationship, glory in the world, protect, power of Jesus' name, one, joy, protected, sanctified, truth, word, sent. Make sure I keep up with my screen because I've got extra notes in front of me. And so what we can see through these two portions of Scripture, and I'd encourage everyone to go and read through the book of John and read through the words of Jesus, those red words, and to meditate them on them deeply and to try and appreciate where I got those ideas from. What we see in these two portions of Scripture, in the John 15 section, we see Jesus talking to his disciples. And in the John 17 section, we see Jesus talking to his Father. We see these two ideas that are there, they're presented, these two situations that are presented. One is a one-to-one conversation between Jesus and his disciples, and the other, the disciples are able to listen in, how good is that, to Jesus praying to the Father. And they are able to record the words of that prayer. What a beautiful, beautiful situation that would have been. And this is important for us to be able to appreciate, because one is a direct encouragement, a direct awareness, a direct understanding that we receive from Jesus as we read the word. And then there is that insight that we get between Christ's own relationship within the Godhead. And we get to, as a witness to that, we get to observe who God is and how he carries himself, lack of a better way to phrase it, how he carries himself, how he approaches life in this world, knowing that he is not of this world. And so I'm going to go through some of these phrases here. So I've got the word hate. And that's what John 15 starts with. If the world hates you, keep in mind, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, keep in mind that it hated him first. God is encouraging his disciples, hey, people are going to hate you. It's a bit weird to phrase it that way, but there is a real encouragement in that, hey, this is not something that is unusual. this is something that is going to be common to your experience. People are not going to like you. As you hold on to Christ, as you present the gospel, as you seek to tell people about, hey, the trouble of sin and the results of it, they're not going to like you. It's something that is common to us, and it should not be a surprise. Should not be a surprise. And then he uses this word belong. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. So you wouldn't receive hate if you actually belonged to the world. But we actually belong to Christ. We don't belong to this world. Because chosen, you have been, we have been chosen, handpicked for whatever reason, by God's grace, nothing that we deserved, we have been chosen by God. It's a pretty amazing understanding. Not that we deserve. And Jesus says it plainly, that is why the world hates you. Because you've been chosen by God, because God's grace has been poured out on your life, the world hates you. And then Jesus uses this wonderful phrase, remember. Remember what I've said. And because we belong to God, because we've been chosen, the world will hate us, we will face persecution. They will treat you this way, Jesus said, because of what? His name. Not because you're a nasty person. Not because they don't like the way you're dressed. That they don't appreciate where you grew up. You're a different culture. No, it's simply because of one thing. Jesus' name. God's name. That you are now bearing in your life God's name. Jesus' name. The next word that I've got there is obedience. I've got the word obedience. Now, the good thing is those who are chosen and belong to God, we have become obedient. We have become obedient. And as you recognize, you'll hear the word of God, you'll read the Bible, you'll recognize that, and you will put it into practice. That word transformation that Matthew was talking about is going to be a real thing. Whether it's going to be morally, you're going to be morally transformed, your emotions are going to start lining up to the word of God, you're going to have that spiritual relationship and awareness and discernment coming through, and even just your general attitudes and way of life will start to line up with the word of God. There is going to be a real obedience that comes through, and then that is because you are taking on Jesus' name, you're taking on His attributes, as it were. Then I've got the word sin. The sin is mentioned in this passage because Jesus' own witness and testimony has exposed sin. We wouldn't know what sin was unless Christ came. We wouldn't know what it meant to hate your neighbor unless Christ came to reveal to us what sin was. So we have not only been chosen and belong, we have not only taken on the name of Jesus, we are not only becoming obedient to the word of God, but we are also having an accurate representation and understanding of what sin is in our hearts, in our mind. And this is where our testimonies come in. This is where we start to witness what is happening in our own life. We recognize what that sin is in our own life, the need to get rid of it, the need to have it dealt with, and so the world hates us. So the world persecutes us. Why? Because we are saying no to the world and its lusts and its passions. We are saying no to what the world loves. We are saying no to the way things, as we see in the world, the corruption of what is happening. That is Jesus' words. They are his words to his disciples. Now, if it was up to us and it was just in name only, it would be impossible for us to follow. It would be impossible for us to see that transformation. And so then the next passage, the next paragraph, the advocate comes. The Holy Spirit comes. And so Jesus is talking to his disciples and letting them know that he will send his Spirit. And he will be the Spirit of truth. And he will be the one who testifies through us about Jesus. It will be us carrying the message and testifying, but it will be the Holy Spirit who's doing it through us. And then chapter 16, verse 1, it says, Jesus says to his disciples, "All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. So that because the persecution's coming, because the hatred's going to be there, so that you will not fall away. The Holy Spirit will come and will empower you and give you that ability to testify in this world. And he has told us these things so that we will not fall away." And so there is an understanding and an awareness that comes as we listen to the Word of God, as we read the Word of God, as we spend time with Jesus, as we meditate on his Word, that we start to understand and become aware of the depth and the reality of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is no longer a mystery, but it has been accepted and it is real. And it is us. It is becoming a part of us. It is owned. It has been given by God. It is part of our life. It is no longer foreign or a mystery or strange, but it is the true reality of our very existence and life. So when the time comes, as it was to the disciples, not to us because we don't have synagogues, I think there's one in Hobart, but we didn't grow up in a synagogue per se, but he says they will throw you out of the synagogues. So what their way of life, their religious devotion to God would change. They would be thrown out of the synagogues. They would be no longer counted as part of that Jewish understanding of how God approaches the world, because it's now a different, a transformed, a full and complete, and it is becoming strange to those who are holding in the Jewish understanding. It was becoming strange to them because there wasn't a physical temple 70 years later. It was by the Spirit, and it is by the Spirit. So the next words were Jesus talking to his Father. And this is, again, the gospel summarized as quickly from this passage, that it's a revelation. Without revelation, we do not receive. Without revelation, we do not understand. Without revelation, it has to be through revelation. It has to be through God coming to us, God revealing to us who he is and what our journey is in him. So we'll go quickly through these. Again, we've got what Jesus received, he gave to us. We have become obedient to his word. We have received not just the word, we've accepted it. It is part of who we are. The disciples, through their relationship with Jesus, have now got a certainty about their understanding, about their life, about Jesus, about the gospel, about the mission, about the purposes. There is a certainty that has come into their understanding. There is not a mystery anymore, there is a certainty. The relationship is becoming clear, has been made clear. All that I have is yours, and all that you have is mine. There is that clear relationship between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and his church. We are here to glorify to give glory. Through the Holy Spirit's work in us, it is to glorify Jesus. Yes, we are in the world. God says he's going to protect us. Jesus has prayed for our protection. Okay? Our spiritual protection. And it is through the power of Jesus' name. It is through owning Jesus as our Lord and Savior, through his name, that protection is experienced and becomes a part of our experience, our life. The idea of unity comes through with the word one. The idea of unity, that the Father and Son are one, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are one, but now also God is praying that we as his church, as his people, would be one, and that we would receive joy. Our joy is being one, being here together as a diverse community, as a diverse group of people, part of the body of Christ. We are here to encourage and build each other up, to have joy in the Spirit, to rejoice always. Right? You walk through these doors in the morning, and are we in that state of, oh, poor me, pity, sufferance? Or are we, hey, I know God is able, and even though there is suffering, even though there is, I still can carry joy because of who and what God is, because of Jesus Christ, the gift that he's given, because there is a day, as we sang, there is a day that's coming where that joy will be complete. So why can't we carry it today? Again, we are reminded, encouraged through what Jesus was praying, that we will be protected and sanctified, and that sanctification, as Jordan rightly said, it's through the Word and through the Spirit, the Word of truth, the Spirit of truth. That is where we need to maintain our devotion, being able to connect what Jesus is teaching through the Word and through what the Spirit is giving an understanding. And then right at the end, after all that God has said and done, he gives to us a little job. After all that God is doing, he gives us one little job. After all that God did for us, he gives us one little job. And that's summarized in that word sent. Let's go. Let's go Friday night. Let's go to our neighbor next door. Let's go into our community. Let's go into our workplaces with the joy of the Lord. Right? Let's follow Jesus, have joy, and be ready and free and willing to share that with others. Testify of what God has done for you publicly. It's a promise that he will honor. Those who honor Christ, he will honor. Part of my teaching experience is understanding how to get students to a place of success. Understanding how to get them to that achievement that we put in place. I love this idea because I learnt this early on. Hey, how do I follow Jesus? How do I know that I've arrived? How do I know that day where I pass into eternity that God is going to be pleased with me? I took this, well done, good and faithful servant, and I have held that, and I encourage each one of us to hold that as that end goal, right? That is what we will hear. And how can we be sure that we will hear it in the future is if we allow Christ to lead us as the teacher to this place of success. He has the lessons for us. We just need to be able to listen and obey and follow. And he will take us to this place. You don't have to get there by yourself. Let's try and get there by ourselves. Right? If I tell you, hey, let's go to 32 Hague Street up in Launceston. I've been there. I know where it is. I know the traffic and the roads and the merge and the traffic lights. I know where the bottlenecks are. I know where 32 Hague Street is. I've been there before. I used to live there. But you guys, no one knows where that is. Maybe someone does by chance. But the idea is if we don't have a clear end goal, then we'll just make strange turns. Okay, we're going to go left here at the lights and then I travel 10 kilometres, I'm going to turn right there, and then I'm going to go to the next street that has a letter that starts with H, and I'm going to try and get there. Am I going to get to Launceston? Probably not. Maybe, right? The point being, have that goal, that GPS coordinates, that end goal locked in. Trust Jesus that he'll give you, and if we do get lost, and we're going to get lost, trust that he will provide the correction as you go. It's a matter of faith. Walk with Jesus, know the end goal, and so if I'm listening, I know what God's got for me, it's good, and it's the best thing for me, I don't think it's that way, God. I don't think it's that way. I'm going to go this way. No, if we train ourselves to listen to the Spirit, he will gently guide our steps. And we will, one day, end up with this victory, with this journey. And so, yes, there are going to be trials. Yes, there is going to be persecution. Yes, there are going to be difficulties in our navigation towards success. But as we trust Jesus, he will make our paths straight. So why? Why do we get persecuted? Let's make that very clear. Why do we get that persecution? We get persecuted because, like it is, we are not of this world. It is true for any kingdom, if there is a king, that you have to swear loyalty to that king. And so by swearing loyalty, you are saying no to everything else. And so if you swear loyalty to Jesus, if you are saying, yes, Jesus is mine, you've turned your back on every other king. And every other king is going, why aren't you following me? Every other king is going to go, you need to come over here. I'm the king. Every other king's going to say, not Jesus, over here. Makes it simple. When we become Christians, when we are born of the Spirit, we are saying no to the world. We are denying even our own kingship, right? And we're saying no to that. We're turning to Jesus, and the rest of the world's going, why are you doing that? It keeps it simple. We get persecuted because we're no longer a part of this world's kingdom. And we are now part of Christ's kingdom. That's all. That's all it is. It's not this big, I'm going to say evil. It is evil, but it's not this big, ugly idea, persecution as hatred. It's something that's quite simple. Something that's quite simple. They're just, you've said no to the world, you're following Jesus. That's it. You haven't done anything wrong yourself. You're not attracting persecution because you've made a mistake. It's just you're holding on to Jesus and the rest of the world doesn't get it. Here's some guys that held on to Jesus and the world didn't get it. Not that they hated Nebuchadnezzar. Not that they were fighting against Nebuchadnezzar. They were actually willing to serve in his kingdom, in this world. They were willing to serve, do their best as servants of an earthly king. But they knew where their loyalties truly rested. Nebuchadnezzar was so furious that his face became distorted with rage, and he commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter. All they had done was said, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves. We're not going to fight. We're not fighting you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. This is a simple phrase. It's not one with rage that they're coming. No, God's going to save us. No, it's just God. God's going to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it very clear. Your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. They made it very clear. When we worship Jesus alone. And the world gets angry. they don't understand. Again, in my journey, this song was so crucial. I love it. George Beverly Shea, Rhea Miller. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than world war fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain or to be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Why? Because he is fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey out from the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead. Love that song. Let that rest in your spirit. Desire Jesus with all your heart. Desire him. Search for him. Humble yourselves. Be ready to throw off whatever sin so easily entangles, whatever allegiances come in your way. Be ready to say, no, that's not me. I go with Jesus. No, I'm following Jesus. Be ready to do that. True North. And that's the Word of God. This is the book that's going to help us to be able to navigate really well. True North. Read the Bible. Keep it simple. Application. If you've got becoming lost, jump into the book. Jump into the Word of God. Read it. Jesus said to his disciples, you cannot come where I am going. And they're like, no, I want to go with you. We do not know the way, they said. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. A clear understanding of the Word of God is being able to understand the big picture as well as the intricacies of the small verses in context. Learn about the verse, learn about the author, learn about the audience, and learn about the intention. I put this here because it's just a little bit of coincidence that has come through in modern times. If we learn about prophecy, the Euphrates River drying up, making way for the kings of the east. Hey, the river Euphrates is drying up. And lo and behold, whether it's God's intention or not, it's what it is. There is a beautiful Omega sign within the dam. As it's drying up, the largest dam, one of the largest dams there on the Euphrates, has ended itself by creating this Omega, the Alpha and the Omega. As we look at prophecy, we recognize that, hey, the river Euphrates drying up is one of those end times prophecies. It's not 100% dry. But what's this Omega doing there? Is that just God saying, hey, I don't know. I'm not saying it is, but it's one of those things that just sort of twists your mind a little bit and say, hey, I've got to get this, I've got to be sure of what's going on around me. Get into the Word of God. Look at it. Read it. Meditate. Pray. Here's somebody who had a very clear understanding of the Word of God. His name was Stephen in Acts chapter 7. And here's somebody who faced persecution and was hated by this world. If you read Acts, it's amazing what Stephen was sharing. He had a perfectly articulated expose of the history of the nation of Israel through Abraham to David. He was able to say, this is, we believe the same things, even to the Sanhedrin and to the Sadducees. We believe the same thing. This is what I believe. I believe this, this, this. I believe the Bible. I believe this, 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 this. And they didn't like it because he was exposing sin. They realized they had sin. They didn't want that to be exposed. And so they dealt with it. But Stephen, through the Word of God, through absolute joy and conviction, was able to face that persecution. And at the end there, just before he was stoned, he was looking up and he saw Jesus at the right hand of the Father. What a gift that was. What a gift. And so, yes, we're in Australia. We face persecution. Yes, we face hatred. It's not to this level. But what I'm saying through Stephen is he had a clear understanding of the Word of God. The whole of chapter 7 was just verbatim, the following through the history of Israel. It was amazing. If you read through that, it's just clear, clear history, historical exposition. Are we able to do that? Are we able to share the word so openly from our own without, oh, I need to look that up all the time? Let's get into the word. What's the promise that God's given? The promise is everlasting life. It's worth it. And it is the journey we're the journey that we're joining in together. So let us encourage one another as we fix our eyes on Jesus, as we recognize the value of the gospel and who Jesus is. Let us keep the end point in mind, and whatever persecution comes, whatever opposition that the world wants to rail against us, we have a sure foundation. Because again, if our loyalties are with Christ, who is not of this world, well, the world just might want to kick us out. Right? I say this with somber thought. I say this as I prayed at the beginning. It's a real thing. Jesus said it, not me. Right? We will face persecution, we will face hatred. It's a simple thing. Where are our loyalties? And that's why I asked for Anne to read through the 2 Corinthians, because again, read 2 Corinthians, this section, and you'll get a very clear appreciation of what Jesus was saying to his disciples and through the prayer to his Father. As you read, Paul explains to us very clearly of our life here in this world. I've summarized it in my own words. We persevere being renewed by the Spirit daily. We know our troubles are temporary, but in fact, it is an investment for our future glory. This gives us a goal to focus on as we long for the end of our suffering that comes from this world. God has prepared our future and guaranteed it through His Spirit. We are confident. Yes, fully confident, knowing it is better to be with the Lord rather than here on earth. As such, we work hard to persuade others of this reality. As Christ's love compels us, it even empowers us in this ministry. Our job is to reconcile people to God as His ambassadors, pleading with those who oppose us, not ignoring the calling placed on us. Challenging word. Please read the Bible. Please meditate. Please listen to God. Please pray. Please work out if there is anything that I've said that is not of God, make sure you get rid of it. If there's anything that I've said that is not of God, that is not of Jesus, that is not of His Spirit, please get rid of it. Otherwise, test everything, read the Word, spend time in humility, in prayer, seeking Him first, His kingdom. Trust in Jesus with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. And that path will end in success. That path will end, well done, good and faithful servant. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Let's pray. Father God, we praise Your name. Father God, we thank You so much for Your word. We thank You so much that You have said these things through Your word to us so that as we face trouble in this world, we're not going to be surprised. We're not going to be overwhelmed by fear or doubt, but we will have confidence. As You said, we will have confidence and certainty of these things. You have said, Lord, that we will have this reality lived out in our life. We will be obedient. We'll be doing things for your glory. We'll be doing it not by ourselves and of ourselves, but by your Holy Spirit. Father, so thank you so much again for being able to journey us through this world, keeping us safe, protecting us, sanctifying us, and leading us in the way of truth. Thank you again, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.